Hello, this is Daniel Orton, pastor of Harvest House United Pentecostal Church in Marion, Kentucky. It is our desire to see hurting hearts and minds healed as they are born again into the kingdom of God. It is my desire that this podcast will be a blessing to you and help bring you closer to Jesus. This may be what we call preaching tonight. I don't know. Preaching and teaching together, so we'll just see how this goes. But if you'll stand with me, I have one verse of scripture. Please stand if you don't care. Honor the word. One simple verse. Jacob's got it behind me, I'm sure. Why don't you read it with me? Can we do that? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If I say blessed, who's blessed? Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So there is a blessing for us if we will be hungry for righteousness. And also, we will be filled. So that's very important. Lord, help us. Help us, God, with all your goodness and mercy. I pray that you would have mercy on us, God. We need mercy in our life. We just ask that you would help us to receive what you have for us tonight. Lord, we love you and we praise your wonderful name. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Every one of us has a lot of things in common, just as being humans. When it comes to hunger, every one of us have two things specifically in common with each other. Number one is we all naturally get hungry. Is anybody hungry right now for physical food? Anybody? Texas is hungry? Texas, I'll eat anytime. That's probably my problem too. I'll eat at any time. We all get hungry. Anybody ever been so hungry that your stomach hurts? Anybody ever been that way? I have been that way. Only, and this is to my, I'm not saying the shame, but this, the only reason I've ever been that way is because I've chose to fast for a long period of time. I know some of you probably have experienced that because you didn't have nothing to eat for a long period of time. So you know what I'm talking about. Hunger. Hunger, physical hunger will make people do a lot of things. There's been men that's went to jail because they've stolen. There's been people that's been killed because somebody's been hungry. Hunger is something that every one of us have in here. Some people seem like they're hungrier than other people are when it comes to physical stuff. Like me, you might look at me and think, well, you don't ever get hungry in your life. Well, I didn't get this way for no reason at all. I feel some kind of hunger pains in there. Maybe it's habit hunger. But this hunger will cause us to physically grow as a person. Corbin is a growing boy, so what's he do? He eats. If he stopped eating, what would he do? He'd die. Just as well as every one of us. If we was to stop eating, we'd die. Let's go a little farther than that. If we was to eat the wrong things, we also would die. Here's the second thing that we all have in common when it comes to hunger. Every one of us, just as the natural, we also have a spiritual hunger. Amen. Everybody has a spiritual hunger. Look at somebody beside you and say, you have spiritual hunger. We see the physical person here today. I see each and every physical person that's here, except for those who's escaped downstairs or hiding somewhere. But every one of us, we have a physical part of us that we're made up of. And we are much more than a bunch of living substance or whatever, DNA inside of us. But we are all made up of that. That's what we see. They say that we are 65% oxygen, 18.5% carbon, 9.5% hydrogen, 3.3% nitrogen, 1.5% calcium, 1% phosphorus, 0.4% potassium, 0.3% sulfur, 0.2% sodium, 0.2% chlorine, 0.1% magnesium, and we're 0.1% of a whole bunch of other things. I'm not even going to try the name there. We all have 32 teeth, some a few less. Bobby said going to be a few more less. We all have 206 bones, 640 named muscles, and thousands of small muscles that's not named. We're all covered by 100,000 hairs. Again, some less than others. And Jesus knows how many hairs we have. Don't be looking at nobody. 6.5 square feet of skin. 20 feet of blood vessels. 253 feet of nerves in each square inch. Ain't that something? Just in a square inch. This is sure, I think it's debating. Some people probably have more skin than others. This is the average person, okay? Now, that's what we see when we look at each other. We all see each other. Everybody look around. Look at somebody. Everybody's got flesh here today. Every one of us. All of us has got flesh. We all got ears. We all got noses, eyes. Every one of us. But what we see when we look at each other, that's not who we really are. That's not who we really are. You see, before this human body was ever entered into this earth, before you ever entered this earth through your mother's womb, we were first a spiritual being. When God decided Texas Young was going to be born, before his parents ever knew whether he was going to be a boy or a girl, God had a spiritual being that he created. As well as with every one of us, this physical body only houses the spiritual part of us. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." You know what that means? If the Lord don't come back, every one of us are going to turn back to dust. The same thing that God created us from. In Genesis, he reached down and he created man out of the dust of the earth. He created the woman out of the man's rib, which was created from dust. So we're all dirt. So the next time somebody calls you a dirtbag, say, "You're right. That's all I am." But when this body dies, the spirit on the inside of us is going to go back to God. We are spirit beings on the inside of us. Now we see this spirit, we see this fleshly part, but just like God, just like the angels, there is a spiritual part of us that will live forever somewhere. We're just in this flesh for a little while. Paul told the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." So with all that understanding, we think it would only be sensible to think about this. If these physical bodies are hungry, but we're also spiritual and physical parallel each other. If we physically get hungry, then we should also have a spiritual appetite as well. Amen. And here's the thing. That Cheryl's dad, when he first started living by himself, and he lost a lot of weight, and he would tell us this all the time. He said, I just don't have an appetite. Has anybody ever had that problem? Don't have an appetite? I'm going to tell you right now, I got to be really sick before I don't have an appetite. And I don't know if I've ever been that sick or not. Because I always have an appetite. I'm just like what Texas just said. Somebody said, I can eat. I mean, I can eat, right? But here's the thing. We think, well, I don't have a spiritual appetite. But that's not true. Everybody in here has a spiritual appetite because we are spiritual beings. Just as you may not have an appetite right now, but I promise you, you don't eat long enough, you're going to have an appetite. You're going to be hungry. And it's the same way with the spiritual. You can travel all across this world. You can go down into the most remote part of the world where people can't speak any type of language that any of us know. And you can look at them, and I promise you, even if Christianity had never been to that place, Brother David, they're going to be somewhere worshiping something. Because that's a spiritual hunger that's on every one of us. Why? Because inside of us, there's a spiritual hunger that we all have. It's why people without Jesus in their lives are never satisfied. That's why people go from one relationship to the next relationship. And they go from one drug to the next drug. They go from this drug to the next drug. And it just gets harder and harder and harder. And somebody might start off on one small drug. Before you know it, they'll get to something that's very strong. They'll start off with one type of alcohol till it gets really, really strong. This is what people do. It's this thing on the inside of us, just this gnawing emptiness inside of us that can only be satisfied when we get close to God and have a real relationship with God, because only Jesus can satisfy that spiritual part of our life, the soul. So here's the challenge. It's not to get a spiritual appetite, because we've all got it. But we have to develop a righteous spiritual appetite. And that's what I'm going to talk about that tonight. What do you got up there for me, Jake? Developing spiritual hunger. All right? So, if we're all going to be hungry in the spiritual, somebody says, well, I'm not hungry for spiritual. Yeah, you are. The next time any of you guys want to go play on a gaming system, you know what you're doing? You're feeding the spiritual part of you. It's feeding the spiritual part of you. It's that excitement, that part that brings that adrenaline to your spirit. It's that part that's wanting to feed that part of you. It's the spiritual part. And we need to learn how to get that spiritual person to desire righteous things. We need to avoid the temporary part that just wants to be satisfied with the hunger that the world may get, the temporary meals. You know what I'm talking about? The temporary. You know, you come in, you're so hungry, but before supper's done, you've eaten all kinds of stuff. Yeah, here you go. Perfect. Mexican restaurant, you eat a bunch of chips and you get full, so you really can't eat your meal like you need to eat it. And then an hour later, you're hungry again because you filled up on junk food, something that doesn't satisfy you. And this is what we're running into this world. People are filling up on entertainment, for filling up on these things that just doesn't satisfy us. There, I listened to a preacher this week. If you never heard his podcast, it's called The Restorationist. And Brother Adam Shaw, I do not remember the name of the podcast this week. It was probably, I don't remember it. But he mentioned a book that I listened to. I didn't read it. This guy wrote this book in 1987, I think he said. And the name of the book is Amusing Ourselves to Death. He wrote this before we had internet, before we had cell phones. And I know some of y'all can't even envision that. But us old people can. He wrote it before any of that. He made these statements about how us in the United States of America are entertaining ourselves to death. And now then, that is really coming so true. And the reason we're doing this is we're trying to satisfy that spiritual hunger on the inside of us. There's a spiritual hunger inside of us that's wanting so bad to be full. And this is why people go from one relationship to the next relationship. They go from one drug to the next drug. And just as we need a balanced diet for this physical body, which comes from developing a hunger for healthy things to eat. Somebody says, I don't like vegetables. If you eat them, you'll eventually develop an appetite for them. All right? I eat them too, brother. I eat them both. Listen to me. We got to develop a hunger for the right things. You can't just eat junk food all your life. Yeah, you'll feel like you're getting full for a little while. I'm talking about the physical part of this again. You'll feel like you're getting full for a little while. But the long-term effects of eating junk food for the physical body is very bad. And just like the physical, the spiritual is the exact same way. We have to develop a hunger for the right things of life. Because I promise you, the more you feed your appetite spiritually, the more you feed it with that stuff, the more you want it. Again, I've used this example, but let me use it here today. Those of you that knows me very well, you know I've always been a diehard University of Kentucky basketball fan. In 2019, when all this stuff happened with Jake and we disconnected from social media, we disconnected from all kinds of entertainment, and just so happened that keeping up and watching the University of Kentucky Wildcats was one of those things as well. And I just kind of cut it out of my diet because it was daily. I was feeding myself. Somebody said, well, you know, yeah, what's the big deal watching a basketball game or listening to a basketball game? Here's my big deal. I didn't just watch it, okay? Every day from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I listen to Kentucky Sports Radio talk about University of Kentucky basketball. When the game was going to be that day, I thought about it just about all day long. Oh, they're going to win, they're going to lose. And not only that, I pulled up articles and I'd read about them. And then I'd listen to the hour before pregame show, listen or watch the two-hour show, and then a lot of times after they won or lost, I'd still watch or listen to them for another hour and a half. So I was constantly feeding myself, and the reason I was just wanting to see them so bad is because I fed myself this appetite of the University of Kentucky Wildcats. Right now, I have no idea who the player is because I quit feeding myself. I quit doing that. I'm not saying it's bad for anybody else, but for me in my life right now, Preston, I can't do that. I'm pastoring two churches and working a full-time job, working overtime again, put me back on overtime this week. I don't have time for that. I got folks like you that depended on me to pray for you and study for sermons and give you messages. I don't need to do that. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we've got to develop an appetite for the spiritual things that leads to righteousness. Because why? My text that I read, it said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm talking about developing a spiritual hunger here. He says you're going to have a blessing if you'll hunger for righteousness. So just real quick, what's righteousness? Anybody know? Right. Doing right. Not your right. Not your mama's right. Not your daddy's right. Not your grandfather's right. Not anybody else's right. Not the right of your whoever that went to this and done that. No, the right of this. Whatever this says, if the Bible says it's right, it's right. If it says wrong, it's wrong. This is the righteousness I'm talking about. When we get hungry for that, God will fill us, that spiritual part of us. And why people don't hunger for Jesus, it blows my mind. Because the greatest blessings in life comes from living for God and serving God. But here's the questions I got today. What's the key for developing a spiritual hunger? How can I become more God hungry? I want to get to the place that I desperately want more of Jesus. I want to get to the place that I'm so hungry for Jesus that I don't want anything else in this world. Because that's where I'm going to be blessed. That's where I'm going to be filled. Does anybody else feel this way? You want to be more hungry for God. You want to have a greater desire. And we all can fall into this trap of simply going through the motions in relationships and everything that we do. We are creatures of habit. I want to give you a test tonight. Anybody ready for a test? So what I want you to do. This is an easy test. I want you to fold your arms. One hand over the other hand. Fold your arms. Everybody got your arms folded? Which arm's on top? This one. Okay. I want you to undo it and do it the other way. Now, don't that feel weird?
I can't do it.
Doesn't that feel weird? You know why that feels weird? Because for years, when you folded your arms, this is how you done it. This is the way I done it. So if I try to do it this way, it's like,
weird.
Something's not right. Why? That's a habit. Now try this one. Interlock your fingers together. Which index finger's on top? Okay, it's irrelevant. Now do it the other way.
Okay.
It don't fit right, does it? Don't it feel weird? It feels funny. You know why it feels funny? You've been doing it, you're right. You've been doing it one way forever. Here you go. Most people get dressed in the same order. Does anybody here get dressed in the same order? Huh? Now, it would be strange if you tried it another way. What? You'll put your right shoe on first? Then you'll put your left shoe on? You put your socks on? Whichever way you do it. How many's like this? This is the way I do it most of the time. I put a sock on, then a shoe. And then I'll put a sock on and a shoe. Now, hang on, don't let me lose you. Now, I'm all right with you being engaged because I know you're listening. Most of us guys will shave in the same kind of pattern. What do? We do it without even, listen to me, we do it without even realizing it. And if we develop spiritual habits, listen, this is important. This is so key for what I want to say tonight. If we develop spiritual habits without even realizing it, it is dangerous when it comes to our walk with God. Because even our godly activities can turn, become so spiritually habitual. Here, all back, we had our forum here, and Alexis, somebody asked the question, why can the girls not pray on this side? Can the girls not pray on this side? You know why? It's just these patterns we fall into. Because our home church always done that. And when people come here, this is what we done when we came here. Men prayed over here, women prayed over there. So we get in these habits, and all of a sudden if somebody breaks that, and somebody's over here praying, somebody, it's like, what are we going to do? Oh no! But what do? We come in and we know what we're going to do. We know we're going to come up here and Bethany's going to sing her three songs. Sometimes she'll sing a fourth song and we're going to ever, you know what? You know how many times I've watched some of you and you have a hand in the air and you're talking to your neighbor. Who are you worshiping?
Are you worshiping God, or are you going through the motion? Because you can't tell me you got your hand in the air worshiping God and you're talking to your neighbor. Now, I've been guilty of it. Come on, what is these? These are habits that we develop. How many times do you notice you're just singing along with a song and you're thinking about something else? We don't even think about what we're singing. We're supposed to sing. Paul said we're supposed to sing with an understanding. We get caught in a routine that doesn't really grow us spiritually. Because we're supposed to be opening our mouth to praise God. We're supposed to be lifting our hands to praise God. We're supposed to be praying. We ought to have the habit of prayer, okay? You should pray every day. But it can become so ritual and so easy that you just pray before a meal and you don't have any idea what you've even prayed. We just push play on this internal radio on the inside of us, and are we really giving thanks when we're thanking God for our meal? Even our daily prayers, we can fall into habits, just the same phrases, the same words every day with no meaning. And sometimes I do like our prayer that we do for our offering. I do like that, and I know there's a lot of churches doing it, and people's being blessed, but sometimes we just say that prayer, and we're not really praying for our offering, right? Matthew 6 and 7, Jesus said, but when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. See, habits can be a very dangerous thing. And I want serving God in my life to be fresh. I want it to be new. I want it to be alive. I don't want to be satisfied with just going through the motions. I also don't want to be satisfied when we as a church are just going through emotions. We know we come to church and this is kind of good. We broke a normal and here we are on a Wednesday night instead of a Thursday night, but it didn't take too long. We got back into routines, you know. Some of us, it's like you got to go to the bathroom 15 times in one day and one night, and you got to do this, and you got to go back here and talk, and she's singing and they're playing the drums, and we're got one hand in the air talking to somebody else, and we know the altar call is going to come, and we got a spot we're going to go pray. Guys here and girls over here, and certain people in certain spots, and we're going to go through the motions. But is that feeding us? I want to see something that's something that continues to birth something on the inside of me, and I want to have a spiritual hunger in my life that personally and as a church body together that causes me to grow. I want to go beyond where I am and develop a hunger on the inside of me that drives me farther than where I am right now. And when Jesus spoke to those that was listening that day, he used the word hunger. This hunger means from the Bible dictionary, means crave ardently, to seek with eager desires. He wasn't talking about having spiritual munchies. Anybody know what the munchies is? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know what the munchies are. You're roaming around your house at 8 o'clock at night, and it's almost time to go to bed. You had supper 2 hours ago, but all of a sudden you're going through the kitchen, and somebody left the cabinet open in there, and there's them barbecue chips you like. You're not hungry for them. You just go to the cabinet, and you open the cabinet up, and you eat the... You know what? If somebody was to say something, you'd get distracted and you would leave from where you are. You're not even really wanting that anyway. You're right. You're just eating because it's there. You don't want much. You're just not really hungry. And we get distracted. And Jesus meant something. He meant something so different when he wrote this word. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Matthew 4 and 2 is another place that has the exact same words when it says, and when he had fasted, speaking of Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. That means I am hungry, baby. I mean, I'm hungry. not eating a while, or what I want something that I want something that beyond. I mean, I'm hungry. I want something. I'm desperate for something to eat. I don't know if any of you've ever. I don't know if any of you guys has ever went on a long fast or not. I know some of you have. And if you've never, I hope none of you has ever not eaten for more than 3 or 4 days because you didn't have food. I know there's a good chance that that may be the case. But listen to me. If you've not eaten, after about 4 days, you really don't know what hunger is. I've went on some long fasts before. More than, 3 or 4 or 5 days. I went on some long fasts. I thought I knew what hunger was. Till about the fourth day. And then I know what hunger is. When I've not had nothing in my belly after about 4 days, I know what that is. And this is the type of spiritual appetite God wants us to have towards Him. Oh, look at this verse here. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let's go from hunger and let's go to thirst for a second. And you might go more than a few days without food, but let me tell you what, you're not supposed to go no longer than about 3 days without water. You'll die. And there's a spiritual water that Jesus has for us. And when you've went a few days without spiritual water, let me tell you what, you're fixing to die. And we've got to get spiritually hungry. And we've got to get a hunger for the things of God. And one way we're going to have to do it, we've got to get rid of some other things in our life that's causing us not to be hungry, because we're munching on everything. We're munching on Facebook. We're munching on TikTok. We're munching on all this stuff in our life. And what we need to do right now at the beginning of the year, some of you need to take TikTok off your phone. You need to take Facebook off your phone. You need to take all the social media apps. You need to turn the news off. You need to turn Netflix off. You need to turn everything off. Empty yourself out and feed yourself with spiritual stuff. Because as long as you're munching on all this other stuff, you're not going to be hungry for the things of God. We need a passion to get inside of our lives. A passion for the things of God. Because this is what I know. What I know is this. What you're passionately after is what you will get. If you passionately after that boy or girl long enough, you may get them. And you may wish you might not have ever got them. If you passionately enough want to have that career in your life, you may reach that career. But if it's not God's will, it's not going to do you any good. The Sunday school lesson from Sunday, in the adult section of it, said something that blowed my mind. I don't know if Jacob's class may have had it in there. But I don't even go there. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to go with it right now. Let's let these guys get down. Let me talk about passion for a second. I want you guys, everybody look at me. Be Sister Cheryl for a second. Let me see your eyeballs. Sister Cheryl, look at me right now. That's what she does. Let me see your eyeballs. I want you to be passionate for the kingdom of God. Because when you're passionate for something, you can accomplish that. If you're hungry enough for it, you can do it. God designed us that way. He designed us to be able to fulfill that spiritual hunger, even if it's for the wrong thing. Okay? He designed us that way. Because He knew if we could ever get that spiritual hunger in the right place, there's no telling what you will do for the kingdom of God. I said it earlier, talking about the young people that's always been in our church. You young people, there's some of you have the capability of doubling this church in a month's time. Amen. You think I'm crazy? No, I don't think. No, I'm telling you the truth. If some of you would get so hungry for God and you start reading your Bible and you start fasting, what is fasting? That means you don't eat. Huh? Yeah, not to get skinny, but to get closer to God. You say, God, I want to know you so much, but I'm willing to put my not eat my supper tonight, and I'm going to go to my room, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to read my Bible. Skip a meal. Skip two meals. And skip Facebook at the same time. Let's take it further. Skip your habits. I'm talking about a hunger that says, God, I want to see great things happen. I'm talking about something that's so passionate that you'll do something absolutely crazy. Something like Amar Bahati. Anybody ever heard of Amar Bahati? Let me show you what it looks like. You see? Anybody don't know who this guy is? One day, check this out. One day in 1973, Mr. Bahati decided to raise his right arm 90 degrees in the air. He claims he's not lowered it since that time. I've done a recent search on this, and as of 2021, I don't know if he's still alive or not, but as of 2021, he still had his arm in the air. So if it's still up today, for over 50 years, his right arm has remained upward. And we can see his fingers up there. They have withered to the palm of his hand. His knuckles are white, rotting. His fingernails have grown long and twisted. And when they ask why he consistently keeps his arm raised, this is what he explained. This is a gesture of the devotion to the Hindu god Shiva. You got the other picture of him? For a Hindu god that's not even real. I know he's not real because there's only one God. He's never felt the Holy Ghost like I have felt it. He's never seen the things that I've seen. But just for a gesture, he said, I'm going to leave my arm in the air for 50 years to a god that's not even real. I'm almost done. Oh, what about, you probably never heard of this guy. His name is Lotan Baba. He's another Indian citizen. Mr. Baba, an Indian sadhu, he's a holy man. You see this guy? He accomplished something that is absolutely bizarre. Over a period of 8 months from 1994, Mr. Baba rode his body 2,485 miles, 973 yards, from the city of Ratlam to Jama, India. He averaged 6 to 7 miles per day. Some days even rode as many as 13 miles. While rolling, he did not eat. He only sipped water and occasionally smoked a cigarette. Upon finally reaching his destination, a religious temple, a 5,000-foot mountain, his blistered and calloused body finally stopped. When they asked why he rode across India, he explained it was to pay homage to the goddess Vaishno Devi and to achieve peace and unity for India. Now you hear me today. Now, we've got some young people and we've got some adults alike in here. And we say we can't pray every day. We say we can't read our Bible every day. And we say we can't come to church 2 times a week and worship God for 2 hours to 3 hours during a service. And these people are doing it for gods and causes that don't even matter. That's the kind of hunger that I'm talking about tonight. I want to develop a spiritual hunger. God has blessings for your life. He has physical blessings here on this earth. He has spiritual blessings on this earth. But more than anything, He has the blessing that one of these days we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Praise God. I want to get a hunger on the inside of me that is so desperate, so desperate. Oh God, help us, God. We need to ask God, prepare my heart, God. Prepare my heart for something greater, Lord. How intense should it be? You guys have heard me tell the story. I won't go through it all again. No doubt you've heard me tell the story about the guy who went to Socrates. How do you say his name?
Socrates.
There you go. I said Socrates. Socrates. Went to Socrates and asked him, hey, I want all your knowledge and blah, blah, blah. Anybody remember me telling that story? He took him down to the river and he stuck him under the water. Brought him back up and said, what do you want, knowledge? He done that two or three times. Finally held him underwater for about 30 seconds. And he let him up. He said, what do you want? He said, I want to breathe. He said, when you want to breathe, when you want knowledge as bad as you wanted to breathe a while ago, that's how you're going to find it. Some of you guys, you know what some in here today want? Let me just, as you stand with me, let me close it like this. Bethany can come. You know what? I'm going to ask these few little questions. How many of you would like your mom and dad to come to church?
Me.
How many of you would like, listen to me. How many of you would like a best friend that you don't have to come to church with you that don't come right now? Okay. How many of you'd like family members to come to church that don't come to church right now? I wonder what would happen if we could do like Socrates told this young man when he held him under the water for a while and he forgot about what he thought he wanted and he realized what he needed. He said, I need to breathe. He said, when you want it that bad, when you want it that bad, you're going to find it. I'm telling you right now, you hear me? If some of you want your parents to come to church, if you'll hear me, before this year is over, I'll prophesy to you, they will be in this church. That's a bold statement, but I would not have said it if I did not feel it. If you'll get desperate enough that you'll get so spiritually hungry that you'll go home and you need to clean out your DVDs, you need to clean out your phones and get all the dirty stuff off of it, all the stuff on there that don't belong. Stop watching the pornography. Stop, get rid of some games that you're playing. And every day, you would absolutely every day not miss a day of prayer. You'd not miss a day of reading your Bible. And you would all of a sudden, you would let God transform you because you're hungry for something different that you've never had in your life. You know what's going to happen? Your mom or your dad or your friends are going to start looking at you. And they're going to look at you and say, what is going on with you? And you'll tell them, hey, I'll tell you what it is. I got hungry for God. I got so desperate for God in my life that this is what's wrong with me. It's not what's wrong, it's what's right. I finally developed a hunger for the things of God. And you can have it too, Mom. And you can have it too, Dad. You can have it too, friend. You can have it too, kinfolk. And they see something on the inside of you. You are so hungry. You want it so bad. I promise you, if you get to that place, there's no telling what God's fixing to do in your life. But you got to develop that spiritual hunger. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, use that same device that's destroying you to start building you up. You start listening to godly podcasts. If you don't know what they are, you ask me. I can tell you what they are. Start listening to preaching outside of here. You need to listen to it here. But start listening to preaching outside of here. Listen to a sermon a day on your phone. Start using YouTube to watch sermons. Start using YouTube to teach you how to study the Bible. Start using all of these things to help you and benefit you instead of causing your spiritual hunger to drain out of you. I promise you, before this year's over, you're going to see something radical change in your life. So can we pray tonight as she sings? I want somebody to start right here, right now, developing a hunger on the inside of you. Because Jesus gave these words to us. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's a promise. He said, you will be filled. So if you're hungry and thirst after righteousness, he's going to fill you.